It is so good to be able to be together to worship with you today as we celebrate Christmas. I know we're 10 days away. Christmas is in a little while, but it is great to be able to worship. Appreciate Marie and Eli starting us off and really setting our hearts and our minds to focus on worshiping God. Appreciate John and Faith helping us remember Jesus on the cross. I don't know about you, but my mind was blown to hear Faith talk about hope and kind of love hearing Faith talk about hope. But and then to see the baptism. Adriana got baptized, and that was amazing. So amazing. Thank you to our tech crew who brings us the Salvation Cam right over there. We can watch it. And also, I just am grateful for our worship team, man. They're doing an amazing job today. Just, I know they do what they do, so we don't look at them, but look at God. But it is great. We're very grateful for the work they do and how they help us worship God. So today I'm going to be talking about the message from above. In 1977, there it is, 1977, NASA launched Voyager 1 and 2. They were sent out to explore our planets around us, and then they were released into the universe to send back information to Earth for as long as they can. And on these traveling spacecraft, they put time capsules. These time capsules were a collection of items that represented Earth and mankind. And these time capsules included 115 different images of Earth, greetings recorded in 55 different languages. They included recorded sounds in these time capsules, volcanoes, wind, the sound of earthquakes, rain, the sound of whales, sheep, crickets, birds, the sound of laughter, and even the sound of a kiss. In this time capsule was included a drawing of a man and a woman, and also written statements from then President Jimmy Carter and also the United Nations Secretary General Kurt Waldheim. They also included in this time capsule that they sent into outer space 90 minutes of some of the best recorded music the Earth had to offer, including Taylor Swift and Beyonce. I'm just kidding. They weren't even born in 1977. No, they included some music from people like Bach and Mozart and Beethoven and Stravinsky, and even some Chuck Berry was included. Music they sent from Senegal, from Australia, multiple other countries, including Indonesia and Japan. And the idea behind this time capsule was that if it were to ever be found by some sort of life form out there, we as humans were attempting to connect with the beyond. That was the idea. And as you know and have seen in the news recently, the aliens have responded with drones over New Jersey. It's the best they had to offer back. But December 25th, of course, is Christmas. I don't know the exact date of Jesus' birth, but it is the day that the world comes together to celebrate Jesus' birthday. And as man, as I've just explained, has attempted to connect with the beyond, Christmas is the beyond through Jesus attempting to connect with you. You know, I think to really understand this attempt at connection from God to us, you got to rewind the story a little bit. You got to look at the whole picture of human history and what's been going on. Like, go way, 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 way back to the beginning. Think about it for a second. Think about God. God is in heaven. You know, there's just God. There's Jesus. There's the Holy Spirit. The Bible, you know, talks about them at the beginning. Everything is great. There's no problems. All is well. And one day God says, you know what? I'm going to make people. And you think, well, why would he do that? I have no idea. The Bible doesn't say why he does it. Maybe it's the same reason why, I don't know, a young couple might decide to have kids one day. You know, there's no Cheerios in your car, right? There's no crayon marks on the wall. There's really no reason for it whatsoever. But you might decide to have children. Why? Maybe out of an overflow of love. Maybe that's why God did it. But God not only decides one day to create people, but he also decides to give them a home. And he makes earth. And he fills earth and our universe with all sorts of details. You know, it's like my wife. My wife is an amazing decorator. She just sort of naturally flows out of her, not just at Christmas, but just in our home. You know, the colors and the styles and the layout, and it's just really amazing. And this is what God does with our planet. He creates a home for us. And there are those people, and they have a home, and everything is great. And God loves his people, and the people love God, and everything is great. But then people lose sight of God. And sin comes into the world. People become uncaring and cold and selfish and evil. And God goes, whoa, 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 wait. Wait, people, look at me. Look at me. But no, this sin begins to grow and fester and spread throughout the earth. The Bible says there was so much sin that God was even grieved that he had made people in the first place. And so God sends a flood, and this flood wipes out almost everybody. Now, I know you may be thinking, well, how could a loving God do something like this? I think the real question is, how could we do this to a loving God? That's the real question. But after the flood is over, God decides to build a mighty nation. And he picks a person and he says, I'll be their God and they'll be my people. And he picks Abraham to be the father of this great nation. There's two problems, though, with Abraham. One, he has no children to start this great nation. And two, he's 100 years old. So he's well beyond the age of having kids. But a miracle happens. And guess what? He and his wife have a son. I mean, if you could just imagine that for a moment, right? Your grandparents calling you up and saying, guess what? We have good news. You're going to have an uncle. Abraham and Sarah give birth to Isaac. Isaac goes on to have Jacob and Esau. Jacob, his name is changed to Israel, and Israel's sons become the 12 tribes, which becomes this great nation that God has promised. So again, everything is great. God has his people again, and his people have their God. But then things get bad. Egypt looks around and sees the Israelites and thinks, this is a great source of free labor, and they enslave them. And the Israelites then begin to cry out to God and ask God for help. And so God raises up a man named Moses. And Moses goes to the people and says, look at me. Look through for God, on behalf of God. He says, look at me. And through a series of plagues, the Israelites are led through this triumphant exit. Moses leads them out of slavery. And once again, everything is great. God has his people, and the people have their God. And as they're out in the desert, they began to lose sight of God again. They're wandering. They begin to worship idols. They begin to disobey. They begin to grumble. In fact, they begin to get so off course that they think that their past slavery looks appealing to them, and they want to go back. So God sends a man named Joshua. And God, through Joshua, says to the people, look at me, look at me. And he leads them to the promised land. And once again, everything is great. God has his people, and the people have their God. But as the people begin to settle, they have problems again. They have troubles with the people around them in the land. They begin to lose faith. And so God raises up a series of men and women who lead them through these troubles. The judges, they lead them, and they lead them to victory, and they turn their minds and their hearts back unto God. And once again, everything is great. God has his people, and the people have their God. Until the people start looking around, and they look at all the other nations, and they begin to be envious, and they see that the other great nations have kings, have human leaders. We want a human leader, God. And God says, no, 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 I'm your king. And they say, no, no, we want a person. We want to follow a person. So God says, okay. And God gives them King Saul, and later King David, King Solomon. And once again, things are great. God has his people, and the people have their God. But it isn't long before the people lose sight of God again. The kings begin to lose sight of God. And so God sends a series of prophets, Isaiah, Obadiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, the list goes on, and God through these prophets says to the people, look at me, look back at me. But the people don't. Everything falls apart. The kingdom eventually divides. Foreign armies come in and conquer the people. Many of God's people are just scattered, and many of them are completely destroyed. This is the story of the Bible. Since the beginning, God has wanted a relationship with his people. He's wanted a connection with you. And with me, he's wanted to love his people, to care for his people, to connect with his people. And his people, us, you and me, they, the people, have consistently, over and over, fallen short, consistently turned our backs on our loving Creator. If you were God, what would you do? What would you do? Would you finally just give up? Would you want to quit? Maybe would you get angry? Maybe send a little fire down, you know, scare him a little bit? I'll tell you what God does. God decides to send an epic message. He decides to take all of it and amp it up one last time. And he sends a message directly to us through a baby. And this is where our passage picks up today. Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, beginning in verse 18. It says, this is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, I can't read my own font there. What is that? It's hard to read. Who made these slides? Joseph, her husband, was faithful. You know what? Thank you. I'm just going to read it from my paper. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary home as his wife, but he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. The story of God is the story of rejection after rejection after rejection. It's the story of generations after generations of faithless and stubborn people constantly turning themselves, turning their backs on God. And so God then deciding to personally come and visit you and me. God deciding to wrap himself up in human form, in a human body, and to come as a baby. To come as a baby and to name himself Emmanuel, which in Hebrew literally means God is with us now. He's here. He calls himself, I'm here. You know, as NASA purposely organized specific items to represent mankind and to reach out in hope to make a connection, God, through Jesus, purposely coordinated specific events and a specific person to connect with each of us individually. God's goal was one epic attempt to communicate and to send us this message from beyond. And so what is this message? What is this message? Just take it, you know, it's honestly, you could spend a lifetime, and you should spend a lifetime reading the book and trying to understand the depths of the message being sent to us. But today, let's just use this little text that I read to you. Let's just look at this a little bit closer and take a little bit closer look to try to understand what message it is that God is telling us today. Here's a little sampling of the message from God. Message number one, it's okay to be vulnerable. That's what God's trying to tell us here. It's okay to be vulnerable. You know, generally speaking, people, you know, we as people, we're not very comfortable with weakness. We're not comfortable with vulnerability. You know, we like to carry ourselves in a way that projects strength. You know, we kind of like to lead with our best foot, you know, put our best foot forward. You know, we send out Christmas cards, and maybe you've done this. I've already gotten a few Christmas cards today, and I'm grateful for the cards that people give out. But we send out these Christmas cards, and sometimes in these Christmas cards, you maybe get them in the mail or someone gives them to you, that you know, people fill them with sort of good news from the year, right? Have you ever seen that? You know, these are some of the great things that happened, some of the highlights from my year. But can you imagine if somebody did the exact opposite? Like, here's my Christmas card, and here's a list of the terrible things that happened to me this year. I couldn't afford to pay rent, so I was evicted. I don't really have a place to stay. My car got stolen a couple months ago. I lost all my money in the stock market, and I have this terrible mole, right, like right here. I just need to get that looked at. You know, can you imagine, like, if that's the Christmas card, you're like, oh, okay, all right, well, hey. It'd be a little awkward, right? Why? Because generally, we're not really comfortable with vulnerability, with people putting out their weaknesses. But here is a story of God coming to this planet as a baby, vulnerable. There are few things in the world that are more needy than an infant. All right, think about that. Think about that. I mean, an infant completely relies on others for everything, for food, for clothing, for cleanliness, for everything. And if you're a parent, you know that this neediness, you know, goes on way past infancy, actually, right? You take teen years, sometimes even beyond, right? But it's true. I mean, think about how God decided to arrive. He shows up in the most vulnerable physical way he possibly could. And this is a theme throughout the scriptures, this idea that it's okay to be vulnerable. It's okay. This is a theme we see. For example, 2 Corinthians chapter 12 teaches us that God's power is at its best when we are weak. Not when we're strong. God's power works best through us when we are at our weakness. James 4 teaches us that God's grace is accessible. His grace is accessible to us when we are honest and when we are humble. Not when we are strong. It's when we're honest and we're humble. In fact, 1 John chapter 1 teaches us that we can find purification and forgiveness for our errors when we confess. When we purposely open our mouths and make ourselves vulnerable. That's when we find forgiveness and purification. I mean, this idea of vulnerability being okay is a theme not just in Jesus, but it's all throughout the Bible. So the question is, are you listening to the message from beyond? Are you listening to it? Are you allowing yourself? Are you permitting yourself to be vulnerable, to be open, to be weak? This is the message from beyond. In fact, Philippians 2, verses 5 through 8 says, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Message from above is, it's okay to be vulnerable. Another message from beyond, God says to us is, I will redefine normal. I will redefine normal. Looking back at our story that I read, you got Joseph and Mary, right? They're engaged. This is not really an ideal dating situation, would you say? I mean, it's really not. This is not how it's supposed to be. This is not how you would picture being. You know, Mary is pregnant, and so Joseph comes up with an alternate plan. And certainly not very normal for Joseph. He's engaged. He finds out Mary's pregnant. He has this plan to end the relationship, but he doesn't, you know, at least he wants to do it respectfully. He doesn't want to embarrass anybody, but he's going to end the relationship. An angel then shows up. An angel from God shows up to Joseph and says, no, this is exactly what I want to have happen. In fact, you should not end the relationship. You should embrace the relationship. Go ahead and marry her. Says they marry her, and they don't get to celebrate their marriage until way after the baby is born. The Bible says, no honeymoon. I mean, there's nothing about this that was really normal, right? But there was everything about it that was godly. And that is one of the messages that we see through Jesus from beyond, is God saying to us, listen, I'm going to redefine to you what you think normal is. Now, I'm not trying to suggest or encourage us that we should like purposely be strange, right? That's not what I'm saying. You don't have to just do strange things for the sake of what I am saying is that God does not often stay in the box that you put him in. That is what I'm saying. We often go, well, this is how God's supposed to work, or this is how God is supposed to do, or if I do this, this is what God's going to do. And God doesn't stay in those boxes. God is God, and we are not. God is not subject to physics. God is not subject to time. God is not even subject to logic. He's not subject to all those things that bind, that all of us are bound to. No. And on top of that, He knows what's best. He has a perspective that none of us can see. God comes into our life and he disrupts what we think is normal. But like this story we just read, it's godly. It couldn't be any more what his plan is. And so a message we get from beyond through the story of Christmas is God saying, listen, I'm going to redefine what normal is. Again, another theme that you see throughout the scriptures over and over. I mean, take Genesis chapter 6, for example. God comes to a man who had never seen rain in his life and said, I'm going to send so much rain, there's going to be a flood. So you need to build a boat. A boat? What's a boat? You know, I mean, this is God redefining somebody's normal. Or 1 Samuel chapter 16, God finds a young, obscure little shepherd kid and says, you're going to be the next leader of my people. You know, the one kid, he wasn't even in the room when they came looking for Eli. They were going through all the potential people who could be the next leader. He wasn't even in the room. They'd forgotten about him. He was that much not the guy they thought should be the leader. And they're like, oh no, that's the guy that I want to use. Nehemiah chapter 1, God takes a royal official who has this cush job, right, working for the king, and says, hey man, I'm going to send you home and you're going to become a contractor. We're going to have you build a wall. Wait, a wall? I've never built a wall. But this is God taking what people see as normal and completely and utterly redefining it. And this is one of the messages from beyond. Again, are you listening to the message from God? Are you listening to the message from beyond? Are you letting God be your leader? Are you letting God decide where you go? Not you. Yeah, God, this is not how it's supposed to work. Oh, God's like, oh, really? It's not, huh? No, this is God. No, God, it's supposed to work this way. That's, you know, are you letting God and his spirit lead you? Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. That's just good advice. That's Proverbs 3, verse 5. Message from beyond, number two, I will redeem normal. Let me give you one more sample from what we just read. Message from beyond, it's okay to be vulnerable. Message from beyond, I will redefine normal. And message from beyond is this, I am with you. I am with you. If there's anything that the story of Christmas is communicating to us is that God is saying, I'm with you. I'm not distant. I'm not far away. I am with you. This is one of the most important parts of this message from beyond. In fact, this baby was given two names, Emmanuel, which means, I said, God with us, but also Jesus, which means the Lord saves. I mean, he's given names to say, I am with you. God is no longer distant. He's no longer far away. He is here. He is near you. He is with you. He is close to you. He wants to be with you. That is the story. That is the message from beyond, the message of Christmas. You know, Christianity is all about proximity to God. That's what it's about. It's not about how great you are, but it's about being around the one who is great. Because the truth is, we're not that great. I mean, there's great things about you. You are great. But compared to God, I mean, you know, right? We don't even come close. So Christianity, it's about relationships. Primarily your first proximity to God. And when you are around greatness, it just sort of inspires you, doesn't it? When you have proximity to greatness, it alters you. So this was my day yesterday. That is a real picture. Making sure you're awake. Yeah, you're like, whoa, has he been speaking this whole time? That is me standing next to Tim Tebow with the Heisman Trophy. That was yesterday. Leslie and I have a friend, and he was doing some work with the Heisman Trophy festivities Friday and Saturday in Manhattan. And he reached out to me. He goes, hey, man, would you like to come along and maybe help out? And I was like, heck yeah, I would. Yes, absolutely. And so while I was there, they were doing, you can see it's a TV set, and they were doing all these interviews with all these legends and all four of the candidates, the current candidate. They were doing all these. And so I saw a lot of amazing people. But one person, and I got a few other pictures, but one guy that I was able to get a picture with was this guy, Tim Tebow. It was amazing. And if you don't know Tim Tebow, I mean, he won the Heisman Trophy in 2007. He played pro football for a little while, but he really is just a pretty remarkable man. You don't have to be a fan of football. You don't have to be a fan of the University of Florida where he went to college, but he really is pretty remarkable. He's very outspoken about his faith in God. He's very active in multiple charities and charitable work that he does. And he's just, I mean, in my short time, he's just a really good guy. I mean, just super generous. In fact, when they said, hey, you want to get a picture with him? I thought it was just going to be like a little selfie. Like, oh, no, let's go up, stand by the trophy. I was like, all right. And then he threw that like tree trunk of an arm around me. And I was like, oh, okay, now we're hugging. All right, cool, man. You look at my face. I was like, what's going on, man? I'm with the Heisman. I'm hugging Tim Tebow. I mean, it was crazy. And it was just proximity around greatness. And this is just a man. But we're talking about God. We're talking about Christianity. We're talking about baby, the baby that came to this planet is God seeking proximity with you. And if you let that sink in, if you really listen to this message from beyond that God wants to be around you, it will change you. It will alter you. It will inspire you. I mean, I'm still like floating from that picture yesterday. I mean, like, it's crazy to think about it. In fact, Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6 says, God has said, never will I leave you. This is God speaking. He says, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? When you have proximity to the greatness, it changes you. And that is one of the greatest messages from beyond. God says, I am with you. I'm here. I am on your side. Voyager 1 and 2, they were launched in 1977. And actually, to this day, they continue to send amazing information and photos about deep, deep space. But almost 50 years later, they're still looking to connect with something from beyond. So don't be like Voyager. Don't keep looking. The beyond has come. It is here. You can stop your seeking. You can turn yourself to God. God came in the form of a baby and brought a message from beyond, and it's time to embrace it. It's okay to be vulnerable. I will redefine what you think is normal, and I am with you. Are you listening? Are you responding? Are you truly taking in this message from beyond? If our greatest need had been information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need was forgiveness. So God sent us a Savior. The Savior is here, and he wants to know you. Don't leave him waiting. Let us listen to this message from beyond. And Merry Christmas. Thank you.